Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. And we're discussing an updating of the great game, the battle between Britain, Whitehall, London, and Petersburg, the Russian Empire. Once upon a time, is it back? Gregory, Britain is involved in evacuating its citizens from Kabul and from Afghanistan. It was integrated part of the war on terror with the U.S. Mr. Blair and Mr. Bush joined as partners immediately in the early days of the Afghanistan intervention. However, Britain has been supplanted by Washington. Moscow, however, is the same old version of Russia that we've always known, whether it's a Soviet empire, the Tsarist empire, or now the Russian Federation empire. Moscow wanted us to know that the Foreign Office was keeping open the embassy in Kabul. Does Russia gain from this collapse?
Absolutely. Russia relishes this chaos for the time being in Afghanistan because it demonstrates to the Central Asian states, the five former stands, as they're known in the West, that they cannot now get an easy overland access to the Indian Ocean and therefore avoid having to trade, import and export through either Russia or the People's Republic of China. So now you've got the threat of renewed agitation from the Taliban coming back up into the Central Asian states, particularly Uzbekistan. So basically, the five Central Asian states, A, need to rely on Russia for overland linkage to Europe for their trade purposes, and B, they need to consolidate their liaison with Moscow for security purposes and security support to defend against potential insurgency from the Taliban and the Taliban's friends like Al-Qaeda, like ISIS and the like, who are operating out of Afghanistan. So basically, Russia gets to recapture parts of its old empire, not that it wants to take them over in sovereign terms, but it does need to bring them back under the orbit of Moscow so that Moscow can benefit from being their supplier, their trading conduit and the like. It's not entirely foolproof, but it also enables Russia now to provide a new block which will link up once again with Iran so that if anybody wants to trade through the Persian Gulf or and the like, they will do so with Moscow's blessing and an umbrella to Iran and so on. Because let's face it, this latest debacle in Afghanistan for the United States means that the United States will not forever be able to maintain its constraint on Iran through the imposition of unilateral sanctions against Iranian officials and the like. So basically this is a process which reintegrates Central Asia with Iran and creates this new Eurasian trading bloc, which theoretically will involve Beijing, but basically Moscow is looking to gain the upper hand in that. Right now, it's cooperating with, in many respects, with Beijing, but it has an underlying competition. And this is the old communist practice, if you look at peaceful coexistence. You cooperate on a tactical level with your adversary, but you continue your struggle, your opposition, beneath the surface.
I mentioned quickly in the Financial Times reporting about the unhappiness of our European allies and the lack of consultation. There is this remark from a former military commander who served in Afghanistan about what this means for NATO, the fall of Kabul. Quote, it's all very well NATO talking up its ability to fight off Russia, but it couldn't even find 3,000 to 5,000 troops to ensure Afghanistan was stable enough to force a stalemate and eventually a ceasefire on the Taliban without American underpinning. this sounds like NATO is flailing about because these comparisons are inarguable. It's true. They couldn't find 5,000 troops. Does this mean that Russia gains if NATO loses?
Yes, it does. The reality is that, yes, the U.S. could have found 3,000, 5,000 troops, whatever it took, to stabilize the situation and if you like, to continue the phased wind down of a physical U.S. presence in Afghanistan. It was not the amount, if you like, of U.S. military support for Afghanistan or the diminution of that. It was the manner in which the Biden administration withdrew, because it demonstrated through the manner of its withdrawal that it had no plan, not even at a tactical level, and it certainly had no strategic objectives in the region, and it also had no regard for the fact that that the U.S. had caused NATO and other U.S. allies like Australia and New Zealand to go into Afghanistan to support U.S. strategic operations, but without any overarching or long-term U.S. strategic objectives for the region. So this is where the collapse of prestige occurs, and the lack of the collapse of trust. This collapse in Afghanistan, with the collapse of the embassies and the like, and the withdrawal, was all absolutely foreseeable. President Biden said it was the speed which was unexpected. Well, that's nonsense. We've seen how quickly these things unravel. But what's happened is it has caused.
We've got 30 seconds, Gregory. Go ahead.
Okay. It's caused the People's Republic of China to assume that it now can intimidate Taiwan and Russia, that it can act unfettered in other areas. The reality is that the trigger, it will come up if Beijing attempts to do anything serious, then the United States will respond strongly, particularly with regard to China directly. So there are lessons to be learned. Do not think of this as the collapse of the United States, merely the collapse, if you like, of credibility of this U.S. Biden administration.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher, Defense and Foreign Affairs. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.